Meeting to rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. First order of business, amendments to the agenda. Anything to add to the agenda tonight?
Those are none for me.
And hearing nothing else from the rest of the board, the next item of business is the approval of the minutes from June 9th, 2026. And I will entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the June 9th minutes as written.
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? The ayes have it. And the minutes are approved. Next item of business, department head reports.
You got me today, gentlemen.
All right.
We'll start with our police department. Two arrests over the last 2 weeks. For motor vehicle enforcement, we have 69 traffic or municipal violations, 30 written warnings, one parking violation, two car crashes, zero overweight permits were issued, and we've done 9 sets of civilian fingerprints for employment purposes.
Thank you.
From my office,
town manager report and communication.
From my office, we did receive the Northern Borders grant for the engineering Prospect Street for that housing development. They had a few more questions. I responded back to them today, so we should be hearing back sometime in early July to give us the green light to start the project. So that is very positive. I spoke to Jane, I think his name is James Hill, about the credit card software and equipment. He's ready to go. He sent me the paperwork to get that moving. So come July 1, you know, everything will be in the kitty. So we're still moving forward on that.
Do you know the name of the firm offhand?
Not offhand, no. But I can provide.
I don't either. I just know Jim does it.
No, we'll be okay. Yeah, well, I mean, anything that's needed, we'll just take care of it. But they should be okay. So. ARPA, after all these years, I know I've been saying it's closing, closing, closing. It has officially closed. Those ARPA, that ARPA grant we had, we received 700 and something thousand from it. It's completely closed. We received our closure notice, and we're in compliance with the federal government. So, thank you for that.
What's the name of the grant?
ARPA.
ARPA.
ARPA. We talked Northern Borders. The state sent us our promissory note for the truck purchase. If you remember, that's the 2% interest rate to buy the new truck for Public Works. Nate said we should be getting our truck in August. So we already have the funds in place. So then once it gets here, we pay it off. Your first payment is, I think it's August of 2027. If you've been downtown or even further down, you see class one paving began. They were out cutting back the shoulders to knock back those berms. I have had people, businesses ask me about night paving. When paving comes through, they will be paving at night downtown Fairhaven. I know some businesses were nervous about having the road closed and limiting business traffic, but it is night paving. Businesses will be open.
When you say night paving, like what's the time frame, Joe, with that? Is there a certain time they can start and a certain time they have to stop?
I'll get the hours. I don't have the exact.
Okay, I didn't know if you or the chief would have known or anything like that. I didn't know if it was. Okay.
Let me write this down so I get a note. Still talking about paving. The crews up on Sheldon Road. They're cut back some trees. They'll be doing a little bit of ditching. That's going to be the road that we're going to pave this year, along with Cedar, between the tracks and is it Academy, right there?
Yep.
We're doing Cedar because we did a ton of work out there to knock back those shoulders and get the drainage working right in that area. If you're down there, you'll see it's all gator back where this area of town hasn't been touched and looks like a generation. So we're going to do that. And the reason we went in this direction is because we had just come out and take a look at South Main, where it's all chewed up. That cost is going to be between $700 and $1 million to do that road right. And that's digging it out, putting in the correct base, putting in fabric, putting in drainage, and then paving over top.
That's a bulk of the tracks, right? Is that what you're talking
about? Yeah, you know, right there.
Right by Willie's house, yeah.
Yeah. I am going to put together a funding package for that. It might be 2 years worth of funding. But we'll figure out what we can do. It's not going to be a fast fix, but it will be fixed. We are going to patch it though. It's not like we're just going to leave it. We're going to get out there. We're going to cut those spaces out and then patch it up. So it's not going to just be left. We can't leave it like that. For some of our projects, the skyline reactivation, we received a grant for that. We have to have a final report and a public hearing on that. The public hearing is scheduled for the next meeting, and I think I have it scheduled for 6:30.
That's going to be.
You're not going to be here.
I won't be here for that one. I'm sorry.
That's all right. So that's coming up. And a little update on the trailer park. I was interviewed today by NPR, for Vermont Public, I think they call it. I talked to Vermont Public this afternoon, and the state has scheduled a meeting with the residents here in Town Hall to provide them options on housing, not a trailer park. So that's happening on Thursday at 4 o'clock. So I'll be here to open the town hall.
Right in here?
In here, yeah. So I'll be here. I'll open town hall and I'll back over to the
car. Are we allowed to be in here for that or no?
Is it Thursday this week?
I don't see why not. Yeah, there's no reason. Yeah, and it's a public space. You can, if you want to come and visit.
I have time. I can stop there and check it out.
And that's what I got for you today, gentlemen.
You, Joe. Moving on to old business, permitting alcohol in the park.
Yeah, so with some of the research that Sam did, he found a troublesome policy that actually prevented the select board from allowing permits. When I say I drafted this, I punched it into AI and had him draft this for me. So this is a repeal of that policy that will then allow the board to issue permits for alcohol.
Okay. Any discussion of this repeal of our policy from 1970?
Just to make it so we can give permits.
Exactly.
It's not giving a permit, it's just opening the door for it.
Why is this June 29th date on there and not today's date of our meeting? Just out of curiosity.
Oh my gosh, it is in this current.
No, it's supposed to be today's date, not June 29th
date. 23rd.
I didn't know that was a certain date you wanted to set that aside for. That's why I was asking.
Yeah.
I'm just going to change it to 23rd.
Okay.
Yeah, it should be 23rd.
Just 23rd because it's September 79.
The next one, John. Repeal of policy.
The next paragraph down, Mr. Stanley.
We are.
All right. So, yeah, as a refresher, the existing open container ordinance gives the select board the ability to give special permits for events. This policy was adopted a few years later and limited the scope of those so they could only be issued for events at the airport. So the policy we're repealing is just that policy that amended the existing ordinance.
So is there anybody that, when's our next thing in the park going on, do we know?
The 1st of July.
Which is what?
A week from
so
tomorrow.
The reason why I'm asking is anybody lined up that wants to sell in the park for that? So is there anybody that's asked about it since we've been wanting to do this?
Yeah, apparently Buzz is interested in doing all the events, but without a liquor permit approved today by the select board, she won't be able to do the next one. She won't be able to do the next one. We'll have to wait till August.
Now that's beer, wine, and liquor, right?
We're only doing beer and wine. I don't.
Okay.
Spirits is a little.
Well, I was just curious. No, I totally understand, but it's so beer and wine then. Okay.
I would entertain a motion, unless there's any further discussion on the regulation before us.
I say we have a motion to motion to pass the regulating permit to open container ordinance as written, with the exception June 23rd, not 29th, that's written on the paper. Is that worded properly? Okay. Yes, sir.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? The ayes have it.
So we sign that now, do we?
We do.
This says
all right.
Open container ordinance, and this says repeal policy.
So what we're repealing is
okay.
What we're repealing is the policy, not the ordinance. The ordinance will remain in full effect. That said, we still have the matter of the language in the park and recreation field. Which we discussed at our last meeting as well. Which I don't know if we want to discuss that now or.
And work.
It's towards the same end. So if you'll recall, we had conflicting and redundant ordinance. We have the long-standing public consumption of alcohol ordinance. And then we also have the more recent and more recently amended parks and recreation fields ordinance, which I provided a copy to all of you at our last meeting. And this particular clause in section 4, item 14, that the Fairhaven Town Park shall be a drug and alcohol free zone. That's condensed. But I still think that while that language was always redundant with the existing ordinance, even if been there in the first place, it presents an issue with us issuing any permits for those events, given that these issues are already addressed in another ordinance. My personal preference would be that we strike that clause from the ordinance entirely. We could remove item 14. That would be my preference.
If you change the ordinance, post it public, and then you're still looking at it.
That is correct.
Then you have to have a meeting, right?
Yeah. And I think that the board, because they set the ordinances and you are the governing board, could issue a special permit for certain days without going through them.
So that way it still keeps that alcohol and drugs out of the park there, other than a special board approved is that?
I think it depends on how you interpret the ordinance.
Oh,
right. And the ways in which it conflicts with the other ordinance.
Just say for instance, if you wanted to have a men's softball tournament and they asked if they could consume alcohol, we'd have to okay that is what I'm just asking.
Open container ordinance would still prohibit that unless a special event permit were issued.
Because with this, you're looking at a contained area no different than you did the wine tasting down on Main Street. You still have an open container ordinance, but we allowed that and we did it.
And to find a
specialized process.
I think that I don't have an issue with that, but I think it requires a liberal interpretation of the ordinance that I'm not comfortable with.
Well, it's the recreational item. Yeah, it's the ball fields down below the grid school. I think is what we're talking about. I just the question.
Right, but we're talking about the
you're talking about the ordinance.
Oh.
As a whole. Oh, okay.
Like I said last meeting, that when we expanded, instead of writing new for the airport, there were all the playground rec areas, we put up the park ordinance and renamed it as the park recreation area ordinance and then added what we needed to add for those other areas.
Okay.
Instead of having multiple ordinances, we just consolidated that
one. Okay, that makes more sense.
So I guess I'm looking at it as I think the board would suspend that ordinance temporarily.
For that one occasion.
For those, yes, because you are the governing board.
And
we're the technically enforcement arm. So okay. If you guys authorize that, right. There is an ordinance, but you're making a special exemption for 4 hours on food truck night, and, or whatever you choose to do.
Okay, and you're saying that though that doesn't need to be spelled out. Are we able to do that with any ordinance? Is what I'm asking. We're allowed to suspend any ordinance.
To parking area. You can suspend your parking ordinance, like what if you're repaving the parking area. We suspended the 2 hour rule to move everybody out of the parking lot. We didn't go in and take the ordinance out, change it, just suspended those rules while they were paving.
Okay. Yes, more so. And per se, we're really not within the park anywhere on the outskirts of it. And it's going to be a sealed off area. So I think we're perfect to leave everything as is and have a window approved ahead of time to do it.
Bill probably don't want to deal with going back to the 70s when everybody was down there drinking at the other end of the air colony.
And then, initially, I was not for the alcohol part because of my way I originally envisioned it was we're going to allow people to come in coolers and we're going to hang out. Then what it explained to me, and I saw how it worked when they were set up over in the by downtown businesses, everything's contained. And as long as whoever's selling it has some good watchdog, or I don't have to station a person there that says, hey, yes, you have to stay within this roped off area. And that was why I was okay with you know, suspending those rules. I just don't want it to be a free for all.
Even, but I want to reiterate, even if we were to strike this language from our park and recreation ordinance, public consumption of alcohol would still be addressed in our public consumption of alcohol permit, which also exists. It's completely redundant language, which is why I'm not sure I understand the hesitance or the concern. I don't think striking this language would create a free-for-all situation in any way, and I don't understand where that comes
from. What I'm saying is I'm not pushing back. If you're looking to do something sooner than later, you can strike that all you want, but that's not going to be any good.
Agreed.
Until it goes through a public hearing, people have a right to come to a public hearing and shoot it down.
I wasn't aware of our statutory ability to suspend our ordinances at the board's leisure. That's a new power, as I understand it. I hear you saying the precedent is set for our parking ordinance. I'm not familiar with that power.
You guys are the government. You set down those laws and ordinances. So if you decide to say for one special event, you're going to allow this in a public hearing. So I guess my thought process is at some point you amend that policy and put that into there. But I think if you're looking to do something for this summer, I don't see where there's any issue or giving a temporary permit. No different for a food truck. Won't allow them to be there either.
We have the itinerant vendor policy, which allows us to, I don't know where that where is it established that we don't allow food trucks?
Well, just we have a park ordinance.
Park.
So you can't have wheeled vehicles in there. So we do this all the time.
Okay.
Like people come in, it says you can't drive cars in there. But when they're special events, they drive their trucks in there, they haul their stuff in. We're not enforcing that because that's part of the process for all these events is to haul stuff.
George,
so you're looking at a special permit for a special event. It's not a blanket. They can come every day and set up.
Okay. All right.
I'm good with whatever.
I suppose if there's no more discussion on the permitting of alcohol in the park, we can move on to our first item of new business, which is the designation of an enforcement official for it. Animal control ordinance. This was something that I asked Joe to put on the agenda. And I just want to do a little bit of table setting, if that's okay. So you're all aware, I think, that I'm the assistant town clerk, one of two, I believe. And in that capacity, I've been helping with the dog registration process this year for the first time, which is lengthy and time consuming. And we have a large number of folks in town that have still, as yet, not renewed their dog licenses for the year. Now, the deadline to renew your license is April 1st. That's from our animal control ordinance. And all of the fees that we charge for that registration process are laid out very explicitly in state statute. So it's specifically $7 is collected by us to remand to the state. They take four of those dollars and put it towards a state neutering program. They take the other three and they split it up between four agencies for the purpose of rabies control and admin for animal welfare programs. So all $7 that the state takes, they put directly into those programs pertaining to animal control. That leaves, in the case of a neutered dog, $4 that we collect and keep as a town, or in the case of unneutered animals or unspayed, $8. After April 1st, a late fee takes effect of 50% in addition to that $4 or $8, respectively. And while I don't have the complete breakdown of costs to provide for you tonight, with respect to how much it costs the town to manage this program, between the town clerk's labor, the software that we use to manage dog registration, the paper envelopes and postage that go into sending out late notices and the like, and just the amount of time that we take actually just carrying all of this out, I think it's safe to say that we don't make any money on this program. And it's, I think, safe also to say that we're not covering our costs from the amount of money that we take in on our licenses. We're not able to increase those fees at all. So our only option is to try and get our costs down. And so I'm working very diligently with Danny, to find ways to get this program a little bit more efficient for next year. Nemrick, who they make the software that we use, I've been working with them very actively over the last several weeks to try and introduce new features and adopt new features that will make running this program a little bit more efficient. They've introduced things just in the last week, like email software or component to their software that will allow us to maybe in the future email late notifications instead of sending them out by mail, which could save us money. They're also looking into the possibility of allowing people to complete the registration process online, which is tricky because one of the things we're required to do as part of the dog registration process is get a rabies certificate from every single dog owner. If you're a dog owner, you probably know all of this already. I was not a dog owner. I'm not a dog owner, so this is all news to me. So rabies, a certification from a veterinarian that the dog is spayed or neutered. And then to additional things are required if the person is a breeder or if the farm animal, but I won't get into that because those are very rare cases. But suffice to say, we're still waiting on something like 160 dogs that we know of to be renewed, and we are going into the 7th month of this year.
So let me, can I ask you
Absolutely,
this?
yes.
You say they can renew it online. Some people might not
They can't
be able
as yet. No,
to.
that we're looking
Some
into adding
people
that feature.
might not be able to make it here in time
Yes.
or the town office closes. Or I see that you're saying you're willing to go around knocking on doors. You could be able to carry all that stuff and go, I'm willing to help you out
So
right now.
I don't want to get ahead of myself, but we right now we take renewals over mail. We have people drop them off and then we process them later. Then we still have to mail tags back to them if they're not here in person. So that's additional postage fees that the town incurs because they're required to have a tag to physically put on their dog's neck. So it costs us more money to get it to them if they can't come in person to collect those tags. As far as online, we do have ways of collecting money from people online, but it's not a streamlined process. So it's the kind of thing that I would do with someone over the phone, and I would explain to them like how they would put in their credit card information and walk them through that process. What Nemrick is discussing doing is maybe adding additional features that'll make it a little bit easier for people in the future. But right, so my proposal tonight is as such. So we are now at the point where we have people still trickling in. We know a few people are waiting to get their rabies vaccinations for their dogs before they come in with the registration, but we have many, many more that we haven't heard from. We have inactive phone numbers on file, so we're not even sure how to reach them. We don't have email addresses, so we could email them if we wanted to. We've mailed them notifications and they haven't responded. So going to them at this point is probably our only option for getting those registrations renewed. Now, if I were to take that step and do that and they still refuse, then we would be in a situation where we could, per our animal control ordinance, write someone a ticket for non-compliance, the same as we would if they never registered their dog at all. Now, I would not like to write anyone any tickets. However, if compliance is an issue, the possibility of a ticket should hopefully be enough to convince people that they should do the right thing and pay the fee to have their dog registered. So toward that end, what I would like to ask is that I be appointed as a designated agent to write tickets only in the service of this one particular ordinance. And I can address your question now too, if you'd like.
Is that the one where if you go and you would help them fill it out right there and present them with the?
That is the idea.
I'd be okay with you doing that if you are willing to do that before you write a ticket to somebody.
I would bring, because I'm an assistant town clerk, I have the statutory ability to register dogs. I know how to use the software. I
As
have
long as you're
everything that
willing
I
to do
would need
that,
to
then.
get them registered. So I would bring everything with me when I
Okay.
went and effectively offer registration or ticket. That's the proposal that I'm making to the select board. So per the animal control ordinance, I think everyone has in their packet. Under enforcement official Article 3 definitions, item C, enforcement official shall mean any animal control officer, police officer, constable, pound keeper, or other individual specifically designated by the select board to enforce the provisions of this ordinance. So I'm asking to be named one of the individuals specifically designated to enforce the
Who's the
provisions
other
of this
one?
ordinance. There wouldn't be
Okay.
any other one. I just mean under that language. That's the request that I'm making. So
I'm okay with it if you're willing to do both. You're
absolutely.
able to help them sign up their dog, give them their tags in and there, and if they're not compliant, then do the other means.
My sincerest hope is that I wouldn't have to write a single ticket.
Exactly.
But the alternative is I go, and if people slam the door in my face, then I have to go and get a police officer or a constable involved, and then they'll have to go back and write a ticket, and then we still won't be any closer to actually having them register their dogs, and it feels punitive. So I'm hoping the mere possibility that they might be written a ticket will be enough to convince people to do the right
Even
thing.
if you don't get them all and you get, say, half, that's half you didn't have before.
What's worked for us in the past? Just send somebody door to door. Not even write the ticket card. Let's just go to door and I can say your dog. You still have your dog. So yes, my dog's still alive. You need to rescue your dog within 2 weeks. That's the way we've always done it.
Okay.
And then if it's I need to get my dog vaccinated, the 2 weeks go past, but you call and say, hey, I got an appointment, but it's not till the third week. And then we're leaning in. So their goal was to get in. Best thing we did was I had an officer go around, knock on every door. We have $450, right?
What I want to add to this is that I think the police, the chief, they have a lot of responsibility and a lot of things that they need to do. And I'm not sure, because it doesn't generate any revenue for the town, it's merely something we're required to do by statute. I'd like to see them doing more valuable things with their time, frankly.
For
We
sure.
don't have an animal control officer right now. I don't have any interest in being an animal control officer, but I do have a vested interest in making this process, the dog registration process, run more.
One suggestion if you have back to the town clerk's office is if somebody's mailing their stuff in, that there's a fee to mail it back.
I don't know that we are
I think the
necessarily
town,
allowed
I don't see
to.
why the town couldn't say it costs us 74 cents to mail it back to you, so please include that. You're not charging them registration fee, you're charging them a mail fee.
It's a very good possibility that we're I was taking a strict interpretation of the statute that we are not allowed to
at least we're not losing anything. We're breaking even on that.
I'll defer to the chief.
Yeah, so our self-esteem, like she said. Mm-hmm. And it's a clean cut, here's your stuff back.
Right.
And that would alleviate that cost. And the difference is convenience is they don't have to take time off or come in during the day. You can mail it in and get it mailed back. Out of that convenience, it costs you 75 cents or whatever. If it's $1.10 to go out, it's $1.10.
Because the biggest thing even I find when I was late registering mine,
yep,
was getting out of work on time and getting here before the town office closed. Yep. That's the hardest part for a lot of people.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not saying change yet. It's just, it's hard to get here sometimes when you get to work at 4:30, 5 o'clock, some people do.
Yeah.
You know, so I think you going around might even help a lot more, you know.
One thing I'm going to be very wary of is I don't want to set the precedent that people think that we're going to come to them.
I get it.
Part of this will be educating people, right? Mm-hmm. It will be me explaining to people because maybe they don't know that April 1st is the due date. Maybe they think April 1st is the first date they have to register their dog, and they think they have a few months to do it after that. Or mm-hmm. I don't know what it is that people think. And as I go door to door, I'll have a better understanding. That's true as well.
So you don't want to be the animal control officer, but you do want to be
an enforcement officer for our animal control.
Municipal officer.
Right, right. I wonder
really animal control.
Not really animal control.
Basically, if you do that, my recommendation, we recommend just municipal work.
So the town staff is not recommending doing this.
Okay.
Just what the officers have done in the past. Door-to-door is great. The door-to-door, I think, will work well. Sending Sam out with a ticket book seems, number one, a little dangerous, because showing up with a ticket book and telling people, hey, I'm going to give you a ticket. Some people are really against that, turns out. You know, yeah, right. I think maybe it might be a better idea to do this, because we have got good compliance, and we just go knock on doors and then just send a list to the officer who can follow up. That would be an easy way to kind of parse out, like, who's gonna comply and who's not. I can see a major problem is when you walk up to the door and like you're gonna comply and they give you a ticket. Well, I don't have my rabies yet.
You're forcing their hand now.
Yeah. Well, I don't have my rabies. Are you gonna give me a ticket? Well, no, I'm going to walk away and come back 2 weeks later. So this adds a level of uncertainty and perhaps danger that we're not comfortable with.
Are you looking for an answer tonight, Sam?
We could pick it, but if everyone needs time to think about it.
Well, Joe does have a point. You walk up and either register your dog or give me a ticket. Kick rocks, bud. Then you're calling chief to come say, hey, you need to
have it. Why don't we just go halfway at this point and just take Bill's suggestion and just knock on doors for a bit?
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
And we'll see how that goes.
Open the door to follow. If you do that, Sam, I would.
Yeah.
What you just Roseanne? So Roseanne Van Loo, you're about Sparky. Your dog's not registered. You have a note that says, she is aware. I give her 2 weeks to follow up on. And then in 2 weeks, if she hasn't, we call her on the phone. You have a good phone number, I can call you.
Okay.
Because I think you're going to find a lot of dogs either passed away, they're not there anymore, people have moved, or we're going to end up in the water bill cycle. Like, if people put the rent cards, we don't pay, if you show up at their house and get money from them. That's my only concern.
Mm-hmm.
I do need an animal control officer. I will tell you that. I personally, I know what you want to do, but I personally would rather have one person that does the whole job.
I agree.
And part of that job is the enforcement arm. And that way we train them, we put them in a uniform, they have an ID, they have a badge, they have...
My proposal was based upon the fact that we do not currently have an animal control officer, and I am not personally interested in being an animal control officer.
How?
And so my...
Often do you need somebody?
That's why I'm thinking.
It's part-time. I mean, initially, it's going to be some work, because that person, you get the dog list. So every April, there's some busy time where you, whoever it is, goes out, does what he's proposed. Well, the town clerk says, here, this is the list. I look at the list, give it to the animal control officer, send them out. They take a couple hours in the evenings or whatever, it's flexible. Knock on doors, as long as you document everything you did. And then you have to, it's a follow-up process. As far as like we had a loose dog today, if the animal control officer is around, I would call him and say there's a loose dog. If that person is working, we go grab the dog, we put it in the holding cell, or put it in the oven, take a picture of it, put it out on social media, dog gets reunited with the pet. So there are some occasions where my staff will go and, oh, get a dog bite follow-up. Hey, ACO, can you follow up on this dog bite, see if the dog is registered, see if the dog is... So there's some work, but it's not... Like, the budget is $1,500. So it's not a full-time job. It's basically a per diem job. You get a call from somebody that says, have follow-up on the dog, or we get a call for dogs running at large. You go over to John Doe's house and say, hey, your dog is running loose.
Until such a time as someone does submit themselves for animal control officer, my thought was this would provide us with the opportunity to do what's being suggested, but without overburdening or adding additional work for the chief or another.
Just one question. How often do you deal with snakes?
Yeah.
Very rare. I mean, we're really going, it's called animal control, but it's primarily 99% of dogs. We really don't do cats. Once in a while, you get some feral cats you might have to trap, but we don't even really get involved in that. I've had some ACOs that went and got how to relocate snakes. Nothing I want to do, but they were really into it, so they went and got that training and got the ability. Did they ever use it? No.
Absolutely not. Are you free tomorrow?
Yes, I'm working.
I'll stop up and see you, and we'll chat about that. That's okay with you.
Yeah. So I'm not opposed to what Sam wants to do.
Okay.
I just was trying to.
But no, I'll fill that void. So he's not the animal control. I can kind of part time, whatever needed. I'm willing to help out with that if I need to. So I'll stop up tomorrow and chat with you. That's okay.
So whoever takes that job, there's a marriage between the police department and the town clerk's office. Because the town clerk runs the control, who's registered, who's not. They register who it is. They know who's on the list. And then as far as whoever, you're kind of the enforcement arm. It's kind of like you have a health officer that does ordinances, and then the ACO handles animal.
And I hope, in case you change your mind, Keith, that the chief's description goes out over PEG TV, and perhaps an interested member of the community will find that message tonight. Rose.
So, didn't the town clerk's office used to have one night a week they were open till like 7 o'clock?
Don't know.
I don't know what it is.
Can't we go back to that? Because, like Keith said, maybe a big part of why some of the people who haven't registered dogs. I mean, is there...
I think it's entirely possible. However, those people have not made themselves known. They could just as easily call us and tell us, hi, I've been trying to get in, but you're not open, right? No one, they could have emailed us. We provided an email. We provided a phone number. So while I think it's entirely possible that that's a contributing factor, I think it would be a mistake to assume that all 160 unregistered dogs are for that reason alone.
Oh, no.
Or
I
even that that
wasn't.
Solved.
But
I think it's a great suggestion, though. I do.
You know, and Danny's got assistance now.
Yes.
So
yes.
That might be something that is just.
Agreed. And we also have a list of individuals who currently own dogs that have never been registered that we're aware of that we are also interested in seeking.
I'm sure there's a lot
of registrations. So again, all of this was in the interest of filling a gap, as I see it, the currently vacant position of animal control officer, until such a time as it is filled. And if you're sincerely interested, I hope you do submit yourself for it. But until such a time as it's filled, I'd like to see us making movement on this. And I thought this would be the way to do it the most efficiently, since I'll already be there and I'll know who the people are. It'll save on a delay. But if I'm not hearing a motion and I don't...
I don't have a problem with you knocking on doors.
Me neither.
I really don't. I'll make a motion that you do knock on doors.
You be the door knocker.
Which I won't do motion, although I do appreciate it. But if I don't hear a motion on making me an enforcement officer for the ordinance, then
okay.
We can move on to the next
thing. If you choose to do that, if you think that you need to come to our office, we will take your photo, we will give you one. I don't think you should go to the door or on an ID
Great.
That says, hey, I'm the assistant town clerk, here's my town ID.
So should we wait before we make anything like that, Bill, or should we just go ahead and do it and he's supposed to see you tomorrow?
He can come and lock in tomorrow. Okay. Like, an ID back.
All right. I wasn't sure if you wanted us to wait on that.
We do that for all town employees. I I'd hate to see you go to somebody's house that you doesn't know you, and then they're like, who are you? And then we start getting calls.
For the record, the chief and I had this very discussion last week.
Okay. I'm okay with it.
All right. Moving on to item B of new business, additional grant match approval.
Okay, so like I said during my manager report, we did receive that $100,000 grant from Northern Borders. The town has provided a $25,000 match for that already, but the contractor that was selected was the most expensive contractor, leaving our project short by $47,978. To move forward with the project, we'll need to find that money. I'm requesting today that the board approve an additional $47,978,000 from the grant match, from the grant match reserve account for the Hampton Housing Engineering Project.
Yeah.
So we could cover that if we went through and took the money out of the grant match reserve account, correct? Is that how I'm reading that, Joe?
Correct.
It would leave $30,688 left in the account.
Yes.
It's already be used, so I can't. I mean, isn't that what the money's there for? That's just, this is just me talking and my opinion on this.
Keith, I'm sorry, was there a question?
It was more or less just an observation when I asked. So if we use, there is $103,666.97 in the grant match reserve account. If we took $72,978, leave $30,678. If that money's in there for this purpose, should we just use it for that purpose? I mean, I'm figuratively talking, asking a general question, more or less. I mean, it's there and we can get going on it. I can't see what the issue would be on it. No. I'm
waiting for Sam.
Just a second.
Sam.
Rose.
I apologize, but I didn't understand what Joe said. Why? Why are we getting charged more?
We're not. The contractor is a bit more expensive, so we need to find money to pay for that contractor.
So did we change contractors? He just came up with more expenses?
Same contractor, same expenses.
You're not open. A better high-end job, more or less.
I guess my question is, I thought we agreed on $89,500 for the engineering costs.
No. So the board, in two separate meetings, reviewed the project, which included additional studies, which was this grant was supposed to cover that. So this board approved all of that. Bought a more expensive engineer than could afford with the grant. So I've heard, so the story I've heard was, well, we'll do it in phases. And phases in Fairhaven means we're going to do what the grant pays for and then forget about the rest. Right? That's what that says to me, and that's what I've experienced over the last 9 years. If you don't do this project fully, it will not be finished. And I will say it again, if you do not do this now, I will give it 99% failure rate. Because nobody else is going to come in here and say, yeah, we should spend that money. Well, I'll put it in perspective. So what we're asking for is an extra almost $48,000. When that project is completed, it is $21 million worth of housing on that site. So are we gonna be penny wise and pound foolish? We didn't spend the $50,000 to get $21 million. It seems like common sense.
Sam?
Oh, yes, Dennis.
So you got, I missed that meeting when the engineers were here. So I believe it was this year, you that were
yes.
Feasibility study when we were discussing this two meetings ago. I could have the second engineer, which is the more expensive, was talking about doing a feasibility study first to make sure that we could do the project that we're talking about before progressing. Am I?
That is one phase of the work that they was proposed in these. Yes. Yeah. And so, including drawings. And what I'm doing right now is pulling up the proposals that we went over so I can speak a little bit more directly to your questions, but it's taking a little bit of time to download. But additional steps that were part of the proposal included providing us, for example, with drawings for three proposed designs of what the project might look like so that we could review those. And these would be just preliminary drawings, right? Sort of pitches to the community, but that's another aspect of the services.
Right. Feasibility studies first.
Feasibility studies. As I'm not sure if it's the very first phase, but yes, it is part of this process.
I think one of the good that was creating when I talked about Johnny was looking at the land all around, like around Swamp Park. Yes, and making sure nothing's going to affect those properties. Yes, is what, I mean, that was part of the big picture of it, is what John, like, oh, so they really want to take care of what's around us. See what I'm saying? That's good. They were looking at all the runoffs. Snow removal, like where they're going to put it, where they're going to take it, whether it's
feasibility.
Well, it's part of the design, yes, and everything they come up with has like a layout of access for emergency, like being able to make it through the whole place without having the 16 foot turn to get back out. It's just how they had it laid out was really, really interesting. Worthwhile, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It was, they had it laid out really, really well.
So, pardon my ignorance of Robert's rules, but I'm just going to throw this out there. It sounds like we have questions that tie back to the proposal as written, right? Which I don't think we were prepared for that discussion, and we don't have that in front of us. Would it be proper to just move this item a little bit lower in our discussion? We can return to it after we've addressed some of the other business, and so that I can pull up information about the proposal, and if there are questions.
That would be great. That's fine. Figure it out. I'm missing something here.
Okay. So with that in mind, I'm not sure what the Robert's rule way would be to just table an item until lower in the discussion. Is there a proper way of doing that?
Joe would know. Ask Joe. I'm not sure.
I mean, you can just move on so I can come back to it. I don't think we need to be so formal as to make motions.
Okay.
Thank you.
It will be continued to later in the meeting.
Okay. Thank you, Claire.
That's what the notes say.
All right. We'll return to that item 7B, later in the meeting. For now, we'll move on to item 7C, liquor licenses.
No liquor licenses today. That's just the place.
All right. Moving on then to item 8, the water and sewer budget review.
Still on track. Board approved both water and sewer budgets. With those numbers, I developed, find it. I developed revenues, which there's a pack in your it looks like that. The last two pages, 2, 3, and 4 in that packet are new to you. The last three pages, are new to you. You'll see the water and sewer revenues. Those numbers are going to tie up to the back, very back page, which is your rate calculation sheet. Looks like this. And the big question is going to be, what does all that money do to your rates? So the rate for water, as the budget sits today, is $10.45, which is an increase of $1.99 per 1,000 gallons. And the sewer rate is $16.08, which is a dollar eight increase per 1,000 gallons. We took some. Eileen went through and she pulled all of the bills for the last 2 years. Took a couple averages. Our average household is using about 8,000 gallons a quarter, so every 3 months, 8,000 gallons. The average bill is $246.92 per quarter.
Cash?
No.
It'll be.
No.
$246.92.
Average bill now.
Yeah.
This is the average bill for the last couple of years. You're using a lot of water. Yep. So the average, so what you'll see is the average increase per quarter with these rates, you'll see a $30.53 increase per quarter, or like 33 cents a day, give or take.
And Joe, this is just a presentation. We're not with a motion on anything this evening.
Absolutely, with a motion.
We've been through this budget quite a few weeks now. We cut everything we could possibly cut, except I, for one, was a pretty stickler as far as keeping our reserve account. I still feel that's the best way to go, but is there a better way than have reserve accounts nowadays? Is there a better way to pay for upcoming repairs?
No. Unless you, so I can use 4th Street as an example, or even Street as an example. If you had no reserves, what would happen? Where would we get the money from? I'm going to have to go to the community bank and they're going to have to loan us money at 6% interest, and then that's getting dumped in your budget. So it's $100,000 plus 6% to get dumped in the budget for you to pay later.
And
so you're actually paying more to get the project done.
And if we hadn't had a reserve account for our sewer fund, 4th Street would still be out there in limbo up there, and people would be having serious problems.
Yeah, and it wouldn't have got done as once we found the problem, it wouldn't have got done as quickly, because if you don't have the money, you can't do the project. Fairhaven is very lucky to have the reserve funds they have. It doesn't seem like it, but some communities don't have any reserve funds, and when bad things happen, they can't do the project. So I think we kind of take it for granted that we have these reserves. It would be a shame that people in the past have provided this community with those funds. To just squander those and not refill them would be, I think, the disservice to the residents of Fairhaven.
I want our reserve funds. I mean, I understand this is high. I feel, but I don't know what else to do. So I'm sticking with it. Sorry, but.
So a lot of this too, Rich, if I know it doesn't make anybody feel any better, a lot of this is debt payments, because we do have to pay for the water for the sewer treatment facility to be rehabbed. That was already done, but the water line here that had to be rehabbed, that has to be paid for. So nobody's being foolish. It's just a lot of debt that's piling up that's making that go up.
It's that debt services line?
Yes. If you look at the debt service water, it's up 67%. Interest rate, that's, I mean, it's 200%, but it's, you know, $15,000.
Yep. On the same thought process here, if that had been pushed off until, say, now, look at that project, what it would cost us. It would have been double.
Yep.
It's just, I see no other way to do it. And I, trust me, I've racked my brain for weeks or
So do you need a motion to carry this on?
It sounds like we're looking for a motion.
Approve the water and sewer rates. Yes, sir.
Water and sewer rates.
And your list of rates and fees are also in there. If the board would like to make any adjustments to those, much like the transfer station fees, you have that opportunity now.
These are the rates that are going to be these numbers.
That's just the base rate.
The base rate and the usage, right?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Joe, could you explain that one-time system fee, what that entails? I'm not aware of that.
Yeah, so if you have a, let's say you put in a new home, I don't know. Well, so we put in new homes over in Prospect, let's just say. That house now, they have to pay whatever their anticipated gallons per day is. Say it's $1,000. They pay $2 per thousand, so $2,000 to the town for the one-time system fee. It's a one-time hookup fee for the water, or maybe even sewer.
They're paying $2,000 before they can have their water turned on, more or less.
It's a new facility. If you have a house that already has a thousand gallons allocated to it, you don't get that new, you don't get that fee tacked on.
Okay.
I thought that was part of the application fee.
If you put in new houses, yeah.
It seemed awful high to me.
Do I have a motion?
No. I'll see what we have facilities for nothing doing. Make a motion that we.
Dennis, would you like to make any comments? Oh, sorry, Keith, I interrupted.
No, it's okay. I mean, I just, we could sit here and not say anything, or we could sit here and just.
If we're sticking to the reserve, and we want to keep that much in reserve, we need to get our daily operating costs down somehow. We need to do something to reduce this bill. This is just high. This is pushing it. I know we said averages.
300. What did I say? 350.
My average is 500 for my loan. Payment for me, starts on, and that's average. High in the summer, fall, if we're using washing a car or something, water or whatever, 700, 750. So my bills went up astronomically with this. There was places in the budget I felt could have been, okay, Joe, we talked about a little bit at the end, kicking back some of the labor benefits. We talked about that a little bit.
We pulled that
small, up. Yep. And there's, I know, small tools and equipment in there multiple times that I feel we can tighten our belt on. I agree with Rich. We need reserve accounts. We've got to pay for these water breaks that keep happening all over the place on sewer. But when I raise our prices that much, we need to tighten our belt someplace else.
Sorry. Are you and Rich not okay with this then? Is that what you're saying?
No. I was the only one that voted no last time I was sitting here, so I didn't change my tune on that
one. Okay, no.
I still
no,
don't just, agree with
you. Just asking. Well, figure something out.
I'm trying to figure out where we've got other than reserves. and I just can't find it. How many times a year do we have a brand new house go in? We charge them $2,000 plus a tapping fee plus an application fee. That's $2,150.
Maybe once a year. That even sounds like a lot. We don't have a lot of new homes going in. So for those fees though, those don't even cover our costs. Like it's free haven. It's the reason we call it that. Those won't cover it.
But multiple years you guys didn't have where we didn't have any reserves going. And when we look back a couple of years, it was like $175 or something that went into reserve. So that's what was getting left out of it. So how do you change operating costs when the reserves are what we're missing to begin with? How do you fix that? I don't know. Okay. I'm at a loss other than to say that going up that 16-17%, depending on which one, is a lot in a 1 year jump, where a 10% would probably be still hard swallowed, but it's still not that hard.
So well, where are you gonna cut to get down to 10% though?
The only thing left, if operating costs have to stay where they're at. Which I still think we could nickel and dime littler lines to death, but it's not the big number, the ticket number. The big ticket number is the reserve. And if we don't fund the reserve and then we keep having lines break, then what are we doing then?
So last year the rates did come down.
How many do we have last year, Joe? Do you remember?
Line breaks?
Yeah.
What was I saying? I think there was eight.
Eight.
Yeah, I was counting the. Yeah,
eight. And just out of curiosity, do you remember the year before? I'm just trying to get a now.
It seemed to be a big uptick starting last year. We had the big one a couple years back.
I do know it was extremely cold this past winter. I don't know if that had anything to do with the eight this coming, this coming spring. But I honestly don't know what to say, honestly, other than.
I can't make a motion.
It's just not. It wants to sit on the board to raise taxes. I want to sit on the board to lower.
How's it working for you?
We voted at our last meeting on the budget itself. We're now voting on the rates. And it feels like we're
through. You're double voting here. Confirming what was done.
Well, it sounds like it does need to be an independent vote, though, for the rates, the budget. The rates are treated separately. And it feels as though we're holding the rates hostage over a settled issue about the budget.
Yeah, this is absolutely just a reflection of what has already been approved. That's all this is.
Absolutely. I already voted no, so you're not going to get me to give them.
Okay. But someone does need to make a motion.
All right.
Go ahead, Gates.
I make a motion that we go ahead with the water and sewer rates as written.
And I'm going to second it. Because you look at this. A lot of these lines, we already dropped them 40%. I mean, a lot of them. One of them was 66% drop. I mean, it's the way of the times, I guess.
All right, I have a motion and I have a second. All those in favor? Aye.
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 All those opposed?
Aye.
And the ayes have it. Schedule of rates and fees for the water and sewer are approved.
If it's okay, can I pontificate this for 1 second? So this is when we go back to talking about engineering for the homes. That engineering in those homes, This is the hard part. This is the hard work that actually comes in and reduces your water rates and it reduces your tax rates, right? By building homes and getting more businesses here, it actually has a positive impact. It's going to take a little bit of reserve funds, but at the end, you're actually seeing a very positive effect on your population. So that's why I'm very much for this project, for the housing project.
I'm very with work too. You brought it back up, so
yeah,
I'm very.
But I was going to say, with that in mind, I think
they do this study and come back to us. Yeah. God forbid they come back to us and say this is not going to work because of Cedar Swamp, and I've seen Cedar Swamp come up multiple times throughout my life. We
okay.
just spent how much money to get told, oh, we're not going nowhere.
All right, so it sounds like your primary concern is that that discovery might not be made until so late in the process that it's already too late. And
just Cedar
that
Swamp.
I understand now.
Cedar Swamp is a protected swamp. There's no question about it.
That's true, but that's what the studies are for.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. I'm 100%
study because maybe that won't
work. I'm 100% for the study. 100. 110% for the study for that engineering company, the one the better, the more expensive.
Yeah.
But to go 100% full blast into this with no bars, just rip, we could get 200,000 to 300,000 in and say, whoa, wait a minute, we're
oh, you're not gonna get 200,000 into it. You're gonna get whatever that grant was.
As soon as they do that study, we'll help put that in there, correct?
I mean,
well, you're asking for that extra 47,000 to finish the 100 in.
So it still has to be.
The engineering firm was 83,000.
So you still have to get it. You still have to have the wetland delineation, which is what your concern is. You're not going anywhere without that. You have to get a brownfields study. Because it was a racetrack, and it's our property. We have to get a brownfield study. Without that, you're not going anywhere. You have to get it surveyed. Again, without that, you're not going anywhere. You have to have a NEPA, which is going to look at endangered species. Without that, you're not going anywhere. With any one of these pieces you don't do, you stop.
So
there's no, none of these pieces are you can't take any of those pieces out.
It's the total. That's what you're asking the total for is for just them studies and
my number was lower though in the past.
but can you clarify that for me? So I think this is illuminating for me. So the 47,978 is for the additional studies that you just alluded to, the brownfield, etc.
That's not part of the initial engineering.
It's not part of the engineering, but it's not additional. This conversation has happened at least three times.
I'll rephrase.
I'm not adding anything.
I know you're not adding anything. What I'm saying is I'm confused about the application of the specific funds that you're asking that we free up from.
I see.
Where is that money directly going to be applied? Because I thought it was for the VIA contract, but are you saying it's for the additional services we need?
It's for the other studies, we'll call it.
Okay.
The grant would have covered all of these had we chosen a less expensive engineer.
Understood.
But we would have got the quality.
Received bids for those, the brownfields and the other studies.
Oh, quotes. But those are hard numbers. Those are good numbers.
Okay. Have we seen those quotes already at a previous meeting? I apologize if we have.
In an email and at least two other meetings, yes, sir.
Okay.
I don't. I'm sorry.
I think that was the source of the confusion. I think we
marked my emails.
Yeah.
It was in an email, and you'll find it in one of the cheat sheets as well.
Okay.
Since I've been on.
I would love to say that my memory is the clarity of my memory is such that I remember the exact details of those particular bids. At present, I don't, which is the only thing that's giving me pause.
Yeah, they're not bids, they were quotes.
The quotes, apologies.
So it still needs to go up the bid? All that stuff?
Yeah, if it was over $10,000. The surveying will have to go out. other things like the NEPA won't. Wetlands probably won't have to.
Was there any additional question or discussion about this item?
That was my question earlier. I had not seen any of these quotes. Not sure if it got missed. I missed it or it didn't get to me. Not sure why. That was my confusion. That's why the numbers weren't adding up. I did not see that.
And if I had those before me, Joe, I apologize. I simply don't. Would it be acceptable for us to move this item till our next meeting so we can review the quotes before we make a motion? Is that acceptable to the board? All right. We'll move this item to our next select board.
Can we get that stuff prior, please? Ahead of?
Yeah.
Review. Give me time to review it, please.
I mean, it's just a spreadsheet of numbers. Yeah.
Okay. 2 minutes for public comment.
So you tabled at the next meeting?
We did, yes. Rose?
So I mentioned, I think it was the last meeting, maybe meeting before. I would be very interested in knowing how close we are working on the ordinance to prohibit people from riding their electric scooters, their mini bikes, all that sort of stuff on the sidewalks. Because just this last week, I had, I don't know if I'm allowed to say the guy's name, but somebody that we all know riding his mini bike right on the sidewalk. Right through downtown.
Oh boy.
Is your name correct?
Well, something's got to be done because he keeps doing it.
Yep.
I've talked to him about it in the park too.
I mean,
not many.
Yes, he was wearing a helmet.
No, I got him wearing a helmet. No, I meant like that was. I told him we need to follow the same rule. He went through stop signs, so we need to stop.
So they're coming off Liberty Street, this curb flying down through there, yeah. And they go to this playground. Mm-hmm. They can't stop. There's no way.
Put out,
I'm on a little red scooter with the blonde hair flying behind.
A lot of pushback over the rules. We're on soccer. Well, it's not to be taken away from kids. We're trying to educate people and parents so they knew rules and regulations. Right? We got
I know, but you know, the first time one of their mothers gets hit by one of these kids on a sidewalk, or somebody's coming around the S downtown and one of those little kids shoots out from Maple Street and gets hurt or killed, then whose fault is it going to be?
Is there any laws on the books, right? So for us to do an ordinance is kind of...
We've been out trying to address that one. Yeah. Trying to do education.
My understanding is that we have the skateboard ordinance, and we were supposed to include these electric scooters and all that incorporate it into the language so that you would have some teeth to add to telling people to stay the heck off the sidewalks.
Well, if they're going to ride them on, I'm going to ride them on.
Rose, I will.
All of them need to be registered. Depends on how big you are.
How many cc's? Just got
75 watts, I think it is. Bigger.
Some of these electric ones go just as fast as a vehicle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If I got registered, I'm sure if they should have.
They don't have pedals, and they're over 75 watts. Don't quote me on the exact number. They have to be registered like a horse. They're under that. They fall under the bicycles. They have pedals and they fall under that watch.
I'll have to take 1,700 cc's off mine, so my register is a bike.
Like, and we're not just art, it's everywhere.
Yeah, no. But you see it all over the place. It's just happens a lot more here that I'm out and about in town. I see a lot more too, and I know who you're talking about. I'm on my way up here to the oral snack bar.
Yeah, we have been That is kind of hard.
He needs to be hit harder.
I appreciate you continuing to bring our attention to this concern. I have not personally reviewed the ordinance since our last discussion about that topic.
Yeah.
It does merit being turned to as soon as possible. And I'd like to also speak with you about the issue outside of the meeting if you have the time.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Russell. Any other public comment? Do we have anyone in the Zoom meeting this week?
No, we do have an AI bot that comes and visits us every meeting now.
Okay.
Michael Miller's here.
Okay.
The concern, I don't know anything about the ordinance for this or anything like that, but when walking, it's the danger of these children. I mean, there were two that were going by me and going perfectly a normal speed and being careful. And I stopped them and talked, and I congratulated him on being careful, and because I said, you know, who gets hurt if you're not careful? You know, one of us on the sidewalk. He says it would be me. So obviously mom's or dad has talked to him. But then there was one scooter came by me with two kids on it.
Mm-hmm. Was it today?
No, this was a couple weeks ago.
Because I just saw one today.
But there was two kids on it, and they were not careful. They were horsing around, and somebody's going to get killed. Can we implore whoever's listening on Fake TV, tell your children to be careful? Can parents be held liable?
Rare. Obviously, we come back to another property. Parents go back to homeowner farm. They're like bicycles. They're not required to be insured. You can sit on the booth.
If that, you know, if they hit me, I'm going down. No. And they're going to be pretty.
I do have a question for Chief on this situation. Just say, for instance, I'm coming up through the S, and one of these kids whips out from Maple Street, doesn't even look. I hit them. Am I at fault, or is that kid at fault for not looking and seeing oncoming traffic?
They didn't look. They didn't stop the stop sign, and they were reckless and drove out and not being the operator.
I just wanted to double check before.
Maple Street's one way.
I shouldn't be coming out using that.
I was too, because you said Maple Street, so I used it as an example. So coming through and somebody doesn't stop, they're not paying attention.
I mean, we would obviously investigate like any car crash,
no,
any car pedestrian, anything.
Okay, I was just curious.
No,
because sometimes you can pay attention all you want when you're driving your vehicle. If they just don't look and they come out in front of you,
it's like a deer coming up.
Exactly. I just want to make sure that, you know, everything.
I think that's the end of public comment, unless there's anything else.
There's two pages on that.
Oh, I only signed one. I thought I didn't watch these.
No, you don't get a chance.
So we have to sign both of them, Joe?
Okay.
Well, nobody has yet.
All right, gentlemen. While you're doing that, we can move on to the parking lot. Does anyone have any discussion? Any of the items currently listed under parking?
I would like to speak on transfer fee.
Please, Dennis.
So this past weekend, I was down there. It was the busiest I've ever seen at facility for some reason. Don't badly know why. If there wasn't 20 vehicles in there, there wasn't two. And it was just mass chaos. And throughout that, we had a computer program that's totally horrifying for these guys. Every time I go down there now, they're fighting with the computer to try to get a scale. Wait. Legitimately do this. Right. It's just not working. Every time there's somebody different operating it quite often now. We need to invest in a user-friendly computer system for the scales. It should probably should be incorporated with the ticket. Credit card machine. Probably should be incorporated everything. They should, and update it. But they there was just no way they could even think of keeping up trying to do the computer work, and the cars were backing up the roadway. And to have one person in there at that point was absolutely impossible when you can't get two people to even run it. Mm-hmm. The cardboard was out in the driveway. All containers were dropped. And I know that's out of norm. That's not the norm down there. But it was just a busy day. And but the last three times I've been in the transfer station, they've been fighting with the computer every time. Because I scale every time I go in. They shouldn't have to fight with that program like that. And not everybody's gymming to figure that out really quick and fix it.
Could it be so far from the shack to the scale?
No, it's that one's not.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
No, it's tied to it.
Okay.
Foot from it. Well, that computer, whether it's computer, the software, I think it's a little bold. But to get that to a one-person user-friendly operation down there, we definitely got to make some changes. It's either that or at times two people aren't enough for that transfer station, and it's like that. That was a big thing this weekend, especially. Just I know we have been working on talking about cardboard, brown paper, box board, which we're still kind of working on it. But apparently the trucking fees to add it to the containers compared to what we're paying
Canusa.
Yeah. Then it's not going to make a whole lot of difference other than manpower time. I asked Buddy, but he's like, that don't really tie much up. It's like $1,200 a year-ish, not even. It's not even because it's going more than 6 months on average, so we're not there. Recycling, still the plastic thing, the metal, we still been talking about that. To go to the price of a compact, and the compact, that is just pretty tough right now. I'd still like the CC to the C&D pad made for that container box. To get moved. Three of us were down there, looked at it. It's not easy. It's nothing that we can do quickly. So,
can you refresh my memory, C&D?
Construction demolition box. So you got your household.
Demolition and construction.
But currently there's a cement pad over here that stuff gets dumped on.
Yeah.
And then there's a box up by the building that gets dumped into. Few problems with it is you can't dump a truck or trailer into that box. So it gets dumped down on the pad. Now we got to pay an operator to go down on the pad, pick it all up, bring it up, dump it in the box, and turn around and crush it. Second part of that, the container is not covered. So we're paying for the dry materials that come in, including mattresses, which we need to address mattresses and box springs. We're putting them mattresses and box spring in that box. We're getting scaled at the scale house when they go through. Then the mattress is getting pulled out of the charge $50 a mattress on top of the scale fee. That now the mattress is wet because it sat in an uncovered container. So we need to, I think that's something in the next fiscal year here we need to look at is getting a decent C&D pad built with a container box, with an overhang to keep the water and snow, everything else out of it. And possibly something inexpensive to put mattresses in to keep them separated so that we don't get charged a scale fee plus a mattress fee when they get pulled out. And plus not have wet. Box springs can be pulled apart, broken down, and not recharged for. But that is something, the new budget year, I know we have some reserves, but I don't think it was that. I think we need to get some more money into the getting this building up to be would be primary, and then we can save some funds getting that done. Then we can work on recyclables further. Currently, the way we're laid out, we can't. We're kind of bound with the layout. So we've still been looking at stuff. We're still looking at some bills, but. There's some cost savings, but it's going to cost money to save a little. Shipping is just astronomical. Shipping is just.
Thank you, Dennis. Any remarks with respect to Dennis's comments on the transfer station?
No, not for that. The whole transfer station is really well redone. Self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
It's nowhere near efficient the way it is. Just an animal.
Like you said, it's chaos.
It's chaos. This weekend, it's the worst I've ever seen. And just, yeah. I have no clue why. I don't know if it was the lake people coming in, cleaning up. I don't know. Yeah. I didn't stay to find out.
I've seen that times where I've gone in, unloaded brush, and I have to wait 10 minutes for cars to get up through there so I can just pull out to leave. It's just so, like you said, it's got to be redesigned somehow.
Any further discussion on transfer station? Did you have another?
Yeah, since we took care of the park ordinance, are we able to cross that off our list for parking lot now? Or is there something else in there that we had to work on, or on the park? Just try to get something off that list, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We'll cross that off now and have to have it in there?
I think there's room for more discussion, but also
okay.
I don't think.
No, that's totally fine. That's for our last. Other than that, I'm all set properly.
Okay.
What were you guys doing on sidewalks that got it into the parking lot? That's been on there since I've been.
We discussed that ordinance with respect to how snow is shoveled and how property owners care for their sidewalks versus what sidewalks should be made by the town. Was brought to our attention, I think by Rose, public comment 1 week.
I think it was, and I think both of them.
Although I know it's been a point of concern for both of you. So, as business owners or business leaders in the community, that's concerned to both of you. So, I think we found last year that there were some particular areas of concern. Near the crosswalk closest to the park, I remember there was a pile that maybe made it hard to access blinking cross light. Was that what it was?
Yeah.
That was an issue.
Sometimes walking down the sidewalk by where Rose and Dan have their business, I've stepped out of the bagel shop and there'd be ice right there.
Yeah.
I have no idea who's honestly responsible for that at the time. So I think that was brought up as well.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like working on sidewalks. No, it wasn't. It was who's responsible for this or that.
I was just
wondering.
It could be that we added this to the park lot because of the work downtown.
Yeah.
We had obviously attempted to have the town vote on an appropriation. Or no, we had an item that they an advisory article.
Advisory article to do the work. I don't need it.
It did pass, I believe.
Yeah.
And we have not returned to that topic of discussion since. So I think that actually may have been the reason why I was headed to parking lot.
The one that keeps getting me is, I'm sorry about your corner business, but Durfee's sidewalk, Mary's Durfee's business sidewalk. To walk up on that on this end is just you trip, fall. The middle did get patched currently, so that's not at all. But the other end is a fall hazard. I didn't know if that was something we could even contemplate getting somebody to come in and look at it. It was ideas, quotes, anything we do. You got to start someplace.
You talking on the side by the
both ends. Both ends. This end, there's a 3-4 inch step. It's like where it was paved. Then it got paved again, and it's just. It's
trip hazard.
It is a trip hazard.
Yeah, I've seen it.
The other
right by Durfee's.
When you go from the gas station to Durfee's,
right there.
And then on the south end, it's like broken up step, cement steps.
Yeah.
Are not the best anymore. Not that all the sidewalks don't need work, including some up here, but that one is a very busy sidewalk. With people that aren't local that know the sidewalk. I didn't know if we could at least get somebody to, or put a request for bid, a proposal for repairs, something, just to get something going.
We're doing great.
Anything?
But maybe in the office. Maybe in the office we'll talk about getting quotes.
Maybe?
Yeah. Well, we can, yeah. Now is not necessarily time for me to start talking about quotes for sidewalks. I don't have any information.
But if it's of importance, we might want to add it to an agenda for a future meeting if there's more discussion to be had. So
I don't know. And I just didn't know what sidewalk was kept going on there. Nobody's ever discussed sidewalk. So I was just trying to figure out something.
Can we divide that into the two separate items? One for the responsibility and one for the fixing.
So if I'm casting my mind back to our discussion about the responsibility for maintaining the sidewalks, my recollection is we reviewed the ordinance, found that it's the property owner's responsibility, the town takes responsibility or tries to prioritize maintaining as many sidewalks as possible, but reserves the right to prioritize them in the order that they deem necessary, something to that effect. And I think we kind of put that to bed, and I was merely speculating on why that item was still on the parking lot. I don't know how much more discussion there is to be had outside of if there are problem areas. I think they do need to be addressed, but I think that probably needs to be done on a case-by-case basis as they arise. I don't know how to address that in a more systematic way, but maybe that is something that we ought to discuss in the future. I don't know, but thank you for your suggestion, Rose. I appreciate it. All right. Are any more discussion for parking lot? Then we can go directly into board roundtable, and I'm going to look at you to go first, Dennis, if you got anything for us.
I got everything right now.
All right. Keith, anything for roundtable this evening?
I'm still a firm believer in possibly thinking about not time here by the park. I'll stop and then time. I don't get smoked on my bike. Because everybody uses a blinker to turn there. And if they do use a blinker, I've seen people use a blinker and still go straight. You know what I'm talking?
You do.
Yeah. Just, it was never like that.
State when I was there last time they came in.
No, state. Did we all carry that for the state to do?
State control.
State control.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but we had no say in that.
There was nothing to tell the state when it came through years of, that's not a long time now.
Horrible design. Especially when there's cars
parked there. When it came through when we're doing 22A.
That's
when they changed that.
Yes. Ridiculous. They cut down on accidents. There was a lot of accidents before that stop sign got put in.
Oh.
It did cut down
on probably more deaths. They're not here.
Well, that's up on the record. Okay.
Right. So,
Rich. Yes, I got a very important thing. So, I mentioned this a while ago, and it didn't really become an issue until recently. We have on the corner of Academy and Pleasant Street, there's a catch basin there that's pretty well wore out. The manhole cover. The other day it was flipped right up on edge. Somebody just, when they turn, it flips up. I got out and looked it over. It's all worn out pretty good. That's going to fail soon. And I'd hate to see a kid or an adult step into it. So I think we ought to get something done fairly soon.
Rich, is that the one right in the middle as you're coming, going towards 22A on Academy.
Yes, it is.
It's the one right there.
Yes, is there a way to put like a toll in there for the time being?
Well,
or no,
I can do anything, but it needs to be fixed soon. I've been watching it for a while, but it's gotten real bad lately. And I failed to mention it a couple times here.
Sometimes it's down, sometimes it's up.
Yep. It was tipped up the other day when I caught it. And there is a little bit more work to do on Cedar before we pave it. That's the one section. There's a couple of manholes that we need to ditch the water into there. Well, we can look that over. Like Joe and I can go down and look it over, and they. And that's all I have.
Okay. Thank you, Rich. I wanted to call attention to our head of water, Mike LeDuc. He's been working overtime, it seems, and notifying the community about work and shutoffs for water on Facebook. I see him posting so frequently in the last few weeks. And I want to applaud him for his efforts informing the community about what's going on. Likewise, I have noticed that we have been continuing to use the VT alert system to get met the word out about those same things. And there have been a lot of community members, Rose included, who've been continuing to promote it on Facebook. And I think that's excellent. And true to my word last meeting, I'm going to continue to do this every week. If you are not already signed up for VT Alert, please sign up for VT Alert. If you do not know how to sign up for VT Alert or would like help signing up for VT Alert, please stop by the town office and we would be happy to assist you with that, because it is a vital resource for information, safety information about what's going on in the area.
Get on it.
And I think I'll leave it there for board roundtable this evening. If there's nothing else for board roundtable, then we can move on to the review of financial reports, which if
I'd like to make a motion to pay the general warrant of $341,692.70.
Do I have a second?
Yes, I'll second the question.
All those in favor?
Aye. Make a motion to pay the payroll warrant $45,428.28.
Second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The ayes have it.
And the checkbook balance right now is $25,525.03.
Thank you very much, Rich. Seeing that we have no executive session this evening, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
I second that.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you very much, folks. We are adjourned.